And when they talk about the name, they mean the name of God. The name of God that's so holy they won't pronounce it. What we have in our Old Testament as Lord, all in capital letters, which is transliterated as Jehovah or Yahweh. Who knows how they actually originally said it in Hebrew. But that name a Jew won't say out loud. It's too holy to him. In their synagogues to this very day, when they come upon that name in Scripture, instead of reading Jehovah or Yahweh, they'll say Adonai. They'll substitute another word for Lord. When they say their prayers, that's how they say it. They put another word in there because they won't pronounce the name. And sometimes they'll just refer to Hashem, the name. It's too holy to be said. Well, here God says, that name that you think is too holy to be said, that's the name I'm giving to Jesus. Jesus gets the name which is above every name. What happens with that name? Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Well, what do you mean by every? You know, if I said we had a party at our house the other night and everyone was there, what would you think I meant? Would you think I meant that every citizen of the United States, more than 300 million of them, was at my house for a party? No, oftentimes it seemed like that at some of our gatherings, but no, it wouldn't be true, would it? Would I mean everybody in the city of Reading, which is my mailing address, was there? No. If I said everybody was there, you might think, well, he means his whole family. He means his closest friends, you know, or whatever. You'd know I meant something like that. But what does he mean here by saying every knee should bow? Well, he defines it. Of those in heaven. Well, we might expect that, wouldn't we? After all, the seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6 cry out, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth is filled with thy glory. The four and living creatures fall down in Revelation 4 and also in Revelation 5 and the 24 elders as well. And they cry out, worthy, worthy, worthy art thou to receive power and honor and glory and strength and all of these things. So we wouldn't be surprised that the angels and archangels and principalities and powers and holy beings in heaven would bow the knee to the Lord Jesus and proclaim him Lord. It's only right that they should. That they should bow and acclaim the Son of God as Lord. But the next phrase might be more surprising. And of those on earth. Now there are billions of people on earth today who not only do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible sense of the word believe, but they don't love him and they're not interested in him. And many of them don't want to submit to him. In fact, many of them adamantly refuse to bow the knee. And yet every person who's on the earth at the time of the second coming of the Lord Jesus, when God shows the universe that he is Lord, everyone on earth is going to have to bow. The so-called new atheists and the other religious people that deny and blaspheme the name of the Lord and the secularists, doesn't matter who they are, the great and powerful of this world will bow the knee and cry, Lord. Not willingly, not out of love, but compulsory, obligated to do it, forced by his power and majesty. But then even more surprising than that, and those under the earth, which is a biblical idiom oftentimes for those who are in hell, those in the lake of fire. And even those who've refused the Lord Jesus such that they've died and gone to a lost eternity, they will be compelled to bow and say, yes, Jesus is Lord. Verse 11 says that every tongue should confess. The word confess means to say the same thing. You're agreeing with God about who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is Lord. And you're saying it to the glory of God the Father. Notice, in exalting the Lord Jesus, God doesn't diminish himself. The Father shows his glory by what the Son has done. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to God the Father's glory. And do you know what the Lord Jesus will do in that moment? 1 Corinthians 15 says, when all enemies are subdued under his feet, then he'll give the kingdom to his Father, that God may be all in all. What a selfless one this Lord Jesus is. After how far he's come from heaven's heights to earth's depths, from that scene of glory to the scene of woe. Not only coming down to earth and humbling himself, but humbling himself to the death of the cross. Having gone that low and done so much for us, is there anything that the Lord Jesus Christ can ask of us that is too great for us to do? And when he tells us to love one another, and when he tells us to esteem others better than ourselves, he's only asking us to do what he has done. And in fact, he gives us the power to do it by his mind in us. He's going to explain some of that in the next verses, but we'll get into that in the following message. Father, we thank thee this morning for the Lord Jesus. And we who are Christians here this morning, we openly proclaim that he is Lord. He's risen from the dead and he is Lord. He's not the accursed one in thy sight. He bore our curse. And he's been raised up not only from death, but raised up to glory. Ever increasing glory, which shall never end. We are thankful that we can know him by grace and acclaim him as Lord even now. We're looking forward to that day when the whole universe will recognize it. When every voice will be compelled to declare it. And every knee will show its obeisance by bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to live with the mind of Christ, to put others first, even one another in this assembly, to esteem others better than ourselves. We ask in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.